Lord, into this time as well. Father God, we thank you so much for today. Thanks for bringing us here together. And God, we know that it's not a coincidence that we're here in this moment, that you are wanting to speak to us in very specific ways. And so, God, I just pray that you will help us to prepare our hearts to connect with yours. And God, I just ask, as always, that every single one of us would leave here today having had a real, true, and powerful encounter with you. And so, God, I just want to thank you and praise you in advance for what you are going to do in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome to our 40 days of prayer. And go ahead and take out your message notes from your bulletin. My message today is entitled, "Who Do You Think You're Talking To?" Has this ever happened to you? Someone calls you on the phone and they don't identify who they are. They just start talking. And they just start talking. And as you're listening and trying to figure out who it is, you realize that you don't know this person.
Right.
Has that ever happened?
Oh, yeah.
You don't know who they are. And they think you're someone else. They've dialed the wrong number. And so they're just busy talking and sharing all this kind of stuff. And then you finally break in and just have to say, "I don't think you know who you're talking to. You dialed the wrong number." You know, your relationship with someone determines how you talk to them, or it should determine how you talk to them. My conversation with a judge in a courtroom is going to be a lot different than my conversation with my buddies on the golf course.
Right.
Amen? Your relationship determines how you talk to someone. At the top of your notes, it says, your understanding of what God is really like shapes everything else in your life, including your prayer. The theologian A.W. Tozer, he said, "What comes to your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you because it affects everything else in your life." Your understanding of who, of what God is really like, what his personality is like, shapes everything else in your life, including your prayer. So the question then is, what is God really like? What is he really like? And we know from Scripture that God has a lot of different characteristics. We know he's all-powerful. We know he's all-knowing. He's everywhere. He could be everywhere at the same time. We know that he's holy. We know that he's just, that he's loving, that he's patient, that he's kind. We know that he's faithful. But today, what I want to do is I want to look at the goodness of God, the goodness of God, because it's the goodness of God that's the basis for all prayer. If God wasn't good, we would have no reason to pray. We'd have no motivation to pray if God wasn't good. Now, the only reason that there's good in the world is because God is good. Without God, there would be no good in the world. You can't even spell good without God.
Right.
If there's no God, there is no good. People ask all the time, you know, why is there evil in the world? Well, the reason for that is really simple. God doesn't force us to do good. all the evil in the world is because God gives us the free choice to do good, to choose to do good or not to do good. And what happens is we choose to not do good a lot of the time. That's the reason for all the evil in the world. You know, if you want to know, all you have to do is go to any max level prison in the United States. And I have. You go to any max level where everyone that's in that prison will never get out. They'll never get out because of the things that they've done. And you go into there and you talk to those inmates, which I have, and you'll hear so many of them say the same thing. I made some bad choices. I chose the wrong people to hang out with. I did things that I regret, and I don't have anyone to blame but myself. All the evil in the world, that's easy to understand. The hard thing to explain is why there's any good in the world. If you believe in random choice or survival of the fittest, how do you explain good? If that's really the case, then everything should be dog eat dog. Only the strong survive. The only reason there's good in the world is because God is good. Now, because God is good, there's some things that we can understand about prayer. And what I want to do today is I want to look at some of these things. There's five implications of the goodness of God that I want to share with you guys this morning. And I believe that if you will get these things, if you will understand these things, your prayer life is going to ignite. Because the only reason that prayer is boring or powerless to you is because you don't understand the goodness of God. So here are the five implications. First one, because God is always good, God's plans for my life will always be good. God's plans for my life will always be good. God's plans for my life will always be good because God is always good. People say, is there anything that God can't do? Yeah, there's some things that God can't do. God can't deny himself, can't deny his existence. God can't do evil. God can't lie. God can't cheat. God can't steal. There's a lot of things that God can't do because by nature, he's good. And because he's good, his plans for your life will always be good. Luann quoted this scripture during worship, Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. My plans will give you a hope and a good future. And when you call to me and you pray, I will listen to you. Do you see the connection between purpose and prayer? God has a plan or a purpose for your life and how that's connected to prayer. The reality is that you are not an accident. You're not an accident. Now, there are accidental parents. Luann and I were accidental parents with our first child. But there are no accidental children.
But we were married a year.
Let's preface that. I didn't say sinful. I said accidental. You know, your parents may not have planned you, but God planned you.
Yes.
God planned you. And God didn't have to create a plan for your life, but he did, because God doesn't do anything by accident. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a plan with God. God loves you, and he actually put a whole lot of thought into you. And you may be thinking, well, then how do I know what that plan is that God has for me? And the answer to that is that God's plan is revealed and it's realized through prayer. The more you pray, the more you discover God's purpose for your life, God's plan for your life. It's through prayer. On the screen, you'll see Psalm 31, verse 19. It says, God, your goodness is so great. You have stored up great blessings for those who honor you. You see where it says stored up? That's intentional. That's a plan. That's thinking ahead. God's already thought ahead. Oh, think about this. God already has stored up for you blessings that you haven't received yet.
Amen.
There are blessings waiting for you that God has already established. He's already stored up because he's good. He goes on to say, you do so much for those who come to you for protection, blessing them before the watching world.
Amen.
That's the reason why we're doing the 40 days of purpose, 40 days of prayer. I want God to bless your lives before the watching world.
Yes. Amen.
All your family,
yes,
your co-workers, your neighbors, your friends, they all need to see God blessing your lives, God answering your prayers. But those blessings, receiving those blessings, is not an automatic thing. You don't just sit back and just let them roll out in front of you. You have to pray. You have to ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. So you've got to learn how to pray. You've got to learn how to ask. And as you pray, you find God's purpose and plans for your life. And as you pray, you literally activate those blessings that God has for you in your life. So God says, everything that I do in your life is good. I don't have any bad plans for you. But you may be sitting here right now thinking, dude, everything in my life is not good. But God didn't say that. God never promised that everything in your life would be good. He promised that his plans for your life would be good. The reality is, we live on a broken planet. Everything on this planet is broken. Your body's broken. Some of you guys have realized that lately. My body's broken. Your mind is broken. You don't always think the right things. Everything is broken. The weather's broken. The economy is broken. Everything's broken because this isn't heaven. God didn't promise heaven on earth. God didn't promise perfection. When we go to heaven, everything works. It's awesome. Everything works in heaven. There's no brokenness. There's no sadness. There's no tears. There's no pain. Heaven is perfect. But God says, even in the middle of all the brokenness, everything that you go through, that he still has a good plan for your life. God can even take the dumb stuff that you do and turn it into something good. Because he's a good God. Romans 8, verse 28 says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose." This is a conditional promise, because this promise isn't for everyone. Everything is not working together for good for everybody in the world. It's a conditional promise. It says everything, God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Those that are that say, "God, I love you and I want your plan. I want your purposes for my life. I want that." Now notice also, it doesn't say that all things are good. It doesn't say that everything is good. It says that they all work together for good. You know, I was thinking about this. You know, all the individual ingredients of making a cake don't taste good on their own.
This is really good.
Flour does not taste good. Raw eggs. I remember this one I never quite understood. Vanilla flavoring doesn't taste good on its own. Crisco. Oh. But when you put them all together, I like cake. Cake is good. God can take everything in your life, the bitter, the bad, the unfair, and put them all together and make it good. You know, anybody can make good out of good. But only God can make good out of the bad.
Right.
You know, there's a story in the Bible of, we know, Joseph, where his brothers sell him into slavery, but he ends up being second in command in Egypt. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is in Genesis 50, verse 20, where after all this goes down and he has the chance, God gives him the chance to confront his brothers after all of that. And Joseph says to them, "Your plan was to hurt me.
Yeah.
But God turned your evil plan into a good plan to save the lives of many people."
Yeah.
That's cake, baby. I love that. I've experienced that. Your plan was to hurt me, but God turned it around. Technically, that's called redemptive suffering. You know, sometimes with redemptive suffering, sometimes you suffer for the benefit of other people. That's called parenting. But that's what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross.
Yes.
He wasn't paying for his sins. He was paying for yours. He was paying for mine. So even when you're an innocent person and people have done things to you that are wrong, you've been hurt, God can use it for good. He loves to bring good out of bad, beauty for ashes. Romans 5, verse 3 says, "So We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn patient endurance. I want you guys to circle the words, for we know. For we know that they are good for us. They help us learn patient endurance. You see, happiness in life depends on what you know, not what you go through.
Right.
You can take two people and put them through identical circumstances. One of them will be happy, the other one will be devastated.
Right.
Why? Because of what that person knows. They know the why for things.
Yes.
Happiness in life depends on what you know, not what you go through. So we can rejoice. We don't have to be devastated when we go through trials, we go through problems, because we know that God is good. And his plans for us will always be good. And that God says, I can use even the bad stuff in your life and turn it into something good. Well, I want you guys to write this down. Everything God does in my life, he does for my good. Everything God does in my life, he does for my good. So that's the first thing that we learn. God's plans for my life will always be good because God is good. Number two, because God is always good, God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. Psalm 103, verse 10 and verse 12 says, he has not treated us as we deserve for our sins, or paid us back for our wrongs. Why? Well, Jesus already paid for your sin. He already paid for all of your wrongs. So why would you pay for your sins or your wrongs? That would be double jeopardy. If you put your trust in Christ, all your sins have been paid for. Jesus has already dealt with those sins. Verse 12 goes on and says, in his goodness, he has taken our sins away and removed them as far as the east is from the west. I love the east from the west because there's no ending to east from the west. There's a north pole and a south pole. But there's no ending to east and west. It never stops. Think about the story of King David in the Bible. King David commits adultery, and then to cover it up, he has the wife's husband murdered. Did David deserve to be forgiven?
No.
No. Did David deserve mercy? No. But David knows that God is a good God. And so he asks God for mercy. Here's his prayer from Psalm 51. By the way, if you're in a sin right now, you should read Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 1 and 2, David says, God, in your goodness, have mercy on me. Wash away all my guilt. Make me clean again from my sin. Cleanse me. Now, when you read those two verses, I want you to notice that all of that is based on God's goodness. Not David's. God forgives you not because you're good. God forgives you because he's good. He's good. But not only does he forgive you, but he also welcomes you back. It's amazing. He doesn't reject you. You know, when you do things wrong and maybe you hurt other people or whatever, generally speaking, people are standoffish or just flat out reject you. But even when you hurt God and you ask for forgiveness, God forgives you and then he welcomes you back. He brings you back. He doesn't reject you. You know, I know a little secret about every single one of you guys. And here's the secret. I'm going to go ahead and out it right now. You're afraid of rejection.
Yep.
You don't want anybody to reject you. In fact, you'll do just about anything to avoid being rejected. But God will never, 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 never reject you.
That's right.
He'll always welcome you back.
Yeah.
No matter what you're doing or what you've done, all you have to do is humbly come back. Psalm 27, starting at verse 10, David says, even if my father and mother abandoned me, and maybe that's been the case for some of you, he says, even if my father and mother abandoned me, the Lord will hold me close. He goes on and says, my enemies are waiting for me to fall. In other words, they know me. They know the flaws. They see behind, you know, my facade or whatever. They know me, and they're waiting for me to fail. But he says, yet, in spite of that, I remain confident that I'll see the goodness of the Lord while I'm living here in the world. God is good. He's the God of the second chance. Even when we mess up, he's gracious. He will forgive. He will bring us back. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16 says, Jesus understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same temptations that we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly with confidence to the throne of our gracious, our good God. And there we will receive his mercy, and we will find the grace to help us when we need it. God always gives me what I need, not what I deserve. So whenever I need forgiveness, I don't get judgment. I get forgiveness. Here's number three. Because God is always good, God puts my good above his own good. God puts my good above his own good. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the good news. That the king sacrifices himself for the people. You know, in all the fairy tales, it's the other way around. The people sacrifice their lives for the king or for the queen or for the prince or the princess. Only our faith, the Christian faith, is different. The king sacrifices himself for the peasants,
yeah,
for the people. God says, this is the unique thing about Christianity. God says, you've sinned and you deserve punishment. And God says, I'm holy, so that means someone has to pay for your sin. And then he says, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. I'll pay for your sin. And so he sends Jesus, the Son of God, to die for our sins. That's the gospel. That's the good news. And that's the ultimate expression of love. John chapter 10, verses 14 to 15, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, and I will sacrifice my life for the sheep." I was thinking about this. When he said this, people must have been like, "What?" Because never in the history of the world has a shepherd given his life for the sheep.
Right.
I've looked this up. There is no story out there about a shepherd sacrificing his life to save some sheep. They're only sheep. I haven't heard of any stories or any funeral, you know, with sheep showing up going, "Oh man, he was such a good guy." He stepped out in front of that bus for us. There's never in the history of the world has any shepherd sacrificed their life for sheep. But God, the creator of the universe, he died for us. So anytime you look at a cross, whether it's one that you're wearing or see it on a hospital or whatever, that's the greatest symbol of God's goodness. It's the picture of the King, the perfect one, dying for the imperfect one. No one has ever offered to die or pay for your sins except for God. It's because he's good. But not only did God pay for our sins, there was another exchange that happens that's even more mind-boggling. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says that God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. What an amazing exchange. He took all the bad from us and put all the good into us. Romans 4, verse 25 says, "Jesus died for our sins and rose again," that's what Easter is all about, "to make us right with God, filling us with God's goodness." So, now I want you to think about this. What does all of this have to do with prayer? It actually has everything to do with prayer. And I want to show you this real quick. What God did for you on the cross makes prayer possible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "Since God didn't spare even his own son, but gave Christ up for us all," check this out, "won't he now also give us everything else we need?" Do you see this? When Jesus died on the cross for you, he solved your biggest problem. He solved your biggest problem. So that means any other problem you have in your life is small compared to your biggest problem. So God loved you enough. Jesus loved you enough to die for your sins. Don't you think he loves you enough to help you with your bills? Don't you think he loves you enough to help you with your job situation, your relationships, your finances, your health? If he loves you enough to die for you, to solve your biggest problem, isn't it logical to understand that he loves you enough to handle and help you with all the little things? One of the things in, you know, this past week in your workbook, you know, your daily devotion, every day it talks about ask. You can ask God for anything. Ask him for anything. Because he loves you enough to answer your prayer. Here's number four. I got to fly through these next two. Number four, because God is always good, he does not say yes to every request. Because he loves you, because God is always good, he doesn't say yes to every request. We talked about this a little bit last week. You know, there's no loving parent in the world that would give a child everything they ask for. God's not a vending machine. God's not a genie. But the reality is that God would never give you something that would harm you. God would never give you something that will harm you. Last week I shared with you guys, there's four answers. God always answers your prayers. He answers them four different ways. Yes. No. Wait. And you got to be kidding me. But I want to give you another way to look at this real quick. Four ways that God answers prayers. When you ask God for something and it's just, you know, what you're asking is the wrong thing, then God says no. When the timing is not right, maybe you ask the right thing, but the timing is not right, God says slow. So he says no, and then sometimes he says slow. Sometimes the request is right, timing's right, but you're not right. There's something you're not ready for it. There's something God's wanting to do in your life before it happens. God says grow. And then when everything is right, when the request is right, the timing is right, your heart is right, God says go. And when God says go, it usually happens fast. Things move quickly. So sometimes he says no, sometimes he says slow. Sometimes he says grow. Man, we always love it. When God says go. Luke chapter 11. Jesus says, you fathers, if your children ask for a fish to eat, would you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you, as sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And the point of Jesus sharing this, he's saying basically God will never give you something that'll be hurtful or bad for you. Sometimes, you guys probably have experienced this. I know I've experienced this a lot. Sometimes we ask for things that we really don't know what we're asking for. Anybody ever been there? There's a story in the New Testament about the mother of James and John, who were disciples of Jesus. And sounds a little bit like a helicopter mom thing. But she goes up to Jesus and says, Lord, when you get to your kingdom in heaven, can my boy sit on your left and on your right? You know, in the honored position, I'm sure the other disciples were like, James, John, check your mom, dude. Jesus didn't do that, though, but he did say, he said, you don't realize what you're asking for. You have no idea what you're asking. And I believe that there's a lot of times where God says that to us, and we have to just simply just go, God, you can see what I can't. You know what's ahead. You can see around the corner. I can't. Right. So I have to trust that you know what's best. Can we be honest? It's easy to trust in the goodness of God when things are going good. Right? And you may be here right now and things may be going good and you're just like grooving with everything. God is good. Oh, yeah. This is, I agree, right on. It's easy. The test is, can you say that God is good when everything is bad? When everything is going wrong? When you're praying and you're not seeing the answers, you're not seeing the changes, things are not happening, and things aren't going good. You know, the real test of your faith isn't, you know, how high you jump in praise and how loud you sing when things are going great. The test of your faith is how straight you walk when everything sucks. When everything sucks, are you still singing loud?
Right.
Are you still jumping up and down? Are you still showing up at church?
Right.
That's the test of your faith. Are you still trusting in the goodness of God? Trusting that His plans for your life are good. So when I'm in pain and I don't see the answers, should I give up? Should I stop praying? No, actually, my job is to keep praying, keep trusting, keep believing that God has the answers and that He's going to, that He's for me, that He's going to do what He says He's going to do because His plans for me are good. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, God says, "My thoughts are completely different from yours. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." All right, last one, number 5. Because God is always good, He invites us to live with Him forever. He invites us to live with Him forever. God wants to show you His goodness, not just while you're here on the earth, but for eternity.
Yeah.
You will get to experience the goodness of God forever and ever and ever and ever for trillions and trillions of years. Because He's good, He invites us to live with Him forever. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 16 and 17 says, "Our Lord Jesus Christ and God our Father who loves us has given us by His grace an everlasting encouragement and a good hope that will last forever. May this encourage your heart and give you strength for every good thing you do and say." So even when you're in pain, pain's not going to last forever. But heaven's going to last forever. Joy's going to last forever. Hope's going to last forever. He says, "May this encourage your heart and give you strength for every good thing that you do and say." Psalm 23:6 says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." As we get ready to close here, until you understand and realize the goodness of God, that God is good and that He always has a good plan for your life, that God never does bad in your life. Until you understand the goodness of God, your prayers will be powerless and pointless.
Right.
On the other hand, when you realize no matter how you feel or no matter what's going on or what your situation is, when you realize that God is for you, that he loves you, that his plans for you are good, that he can take anything that happens in your life and turn it into something good, something positive. When you understand that because of the goodness of God, that that he wants good for you, for your life, now your prayers are passionate, yeah, are powerful, and they have a point to them. Amen. So, what do you guys want to see happen during this 40 days of prayer? I hope it's that you will want to pray more effectively. But it all starts with the goodness of God. Nothing's more important in your life than you know how to pray. It's your prayer life is the way that you tap into the presence and the power of God. It's how you find your purpose, the plan that God has for your life. I've always heard this, and I've always really been thinking about this a lot in the last couple of weeks. The Bible says that Satan is not afraid of your plans. He's not afraid of your strategies. He's not afraid of your, you know, how you budget or how you prepare for the future or what you think. Or God, Satan's not afraid of any of that. What Satan is afraid of is your prayers. Yes. Because he knows when you pray, you're tapping into the power and presence of God. He's scared to death of your prayers. Mm-hmm. He knows that any time God wants to do something in and through your life, God will do it through your prayers. Mm-hmm. So this is why we're doing what we're doing. We're focusing on, I want you guys to know how to pray effectively. Because our world needs your prayers. Yeah. Everything's broken. Our nation needs God. And things happen when people start praying. I'm going to have you bow your heads right now. I just want to pray over you as we close today. Father God, I just want to lift up everyone that's here. And God, I pray for them, Lord. I lift them up to you and I ask, God, that you will reveal your goodness to each one. Lord, regardless of how skeptical they may be or how blinded they may be because of their circumstances or things that have happened in the past, times that they've been discouraged or let down, promises that have been broken, prayers that maybe they hoped would be answered that weren't. But regardless, God, of whatever their situation, I pray that today, now from this point on, that you will reveal yourself to each one. You will reveal your goodness to each one. And so, Father, I pray that as you do that, God, that everyone's heart would be open to you. That every single one of us, God, that our prayer life, our relationship with you, our connection with you would become stronger because we realize and we experience your goodness, God. So, Lord, I just pray you bless your people. Encourage them today. Bless them today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise one time? All right. Well, it's time.